Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen. Praise God. I grew up where there was not a whole lot of toys and things in our life. Most of what you got was either whittled out wood or something very common. And there was much of a domino player except in one way. And that was to stand them up end on end and make those little paths. And then go back and push number one into number two. Number two falls into number three. And they just go right down the line. That is, if you were careful to make sure that there was not a gap wider than a domino. Because when you did, everything stopped right there. So it came to a halt. And I think sometimes about the sequence of events that takes place in our lives. If there had been a gap, who knows where you'd been today? God sent a man to this city to do a work for God. What would have happened if that gap was there? Where would you be today? There'd be no fitly spoken words. This could be a honky-tonk beer store. Whatever. But thank God, God sent a man. And because of that, your life got touched by the sequence. That's God's way of doing things. And I many times look back many years back when God found me, and I become overwhelmed thinking how if somehow there had been a gap and I had not been touched, what a difference it would have made. So that's why I believe church is so important. It's God's sequence of events. And you're not here by accident. For whatever reason you might have thought you came, God knew you were coming a long time before you got here. And His sequence of events will touch your life. I'm very confident of that. Jeremiah chapter 8. Thank you again, Brother Connell, for the invitation to be here. It is our honor to do so. It's a long way from Florida, but we have immensely enjoyed our time here. And again, the rich hospitality and kindness of Brother Connell and his family and reception of this church, I've just felt right at home. Thank you very much. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 6. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle, talking about the turtle dove there, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. What a contrast Jeremiah makes about simple brute beasts that instinctively obey something God put in them, and how man, got made after God's own image, resist a God-given something that I believe is in every man. And I want to call that, which will be the subject of my message here today, just simply the divine instinct. The divine instinct. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us again. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Oh God, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that somehow that we might have our eyes enlightened, our hearts touched, that there be a reception to the things of God. For you know the need of every life and every heart. You know also the dark areas of our minds and our spirits. You can bring light into those areas that we might see and that we might understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated here this morning. David made the statement one time, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When David began to think of his, not his anatomy, but of his spiritual makeup, how that God had designed man in such a way that when David began to think about it, that he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And when he uses the word wonderfully there in our common contemporary language, when we say something is wonderful, we're talking about how great it is and how outstanding it is. And it's lost a little bit of the definition that you find in a King James Bible, because the word wonderful, just like where it talks about Jesus Christ, that he is wonderful counselor, mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That the word wonderful there means full of wonder. It means to boggle the mind. It means that when you begin thinking about it, it has such an extremity to it that you run out of ability to grasp it all. That is what he is talking about. While that there are men that count themselves wise in this world, and when they slide their samples under microscopes and all the rest and write their long formulas on blackboards of theories and mathematical equations, that when it's all said and done, man hasn't even started to glimpse the greatness and the wonder of our God. While that men may think they understand everything, somebody a long time ago made the statement, if I have found it to be true, everybody's somebody's fool. Yes, they are. The doctor that has the expertise to do brain surgery, amen, drives his car up to a mechanic, a lowly mechanic, because all the doctor knows how to do is pull the hood latch to open the hood. After that, he's lost. He's got to turn it over to somebody else with another expertise. Regardless of what we may think, and as much as you might think that you are balanced in so many areas. There are so many lacking parts of our lives. That's why it takes preaching and teaching to help equalize us in the areas that we need. But David talks about that he's fearfully and wonderfully made. And Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And of course, he is called that primarily because that of his own words. He said, "Oh, that my eyes were a fountain, that I might weep day and night for the plight of my people. Because that they had rejected God, that they had went astray, and that even though that Jeremiah prophesied and prophesied and prophesied to them, Jeremiah had no converts. No man turned and said, amen." You think it's one thing to preach in a church where it gets a little bit quiet. Try a church that will pay you no mind at all. And that's the kind of congregation that Jeremiah had, but he was faithful in his call. He continually did that which God sent him to do. And Jeremiah many times became bewildered at the situation, that why it was that men would resist the things of God like they do. And that is why that God brings this contrast into Jeremiah's life and into his mind about how it was that men that God had formed from the dust of the earth and had breathed into them the breath of life, and that there was a kinship with the divine in man, that somewhere in man there is a divine God thumbprint in every man, regardless of who they are, regardless of what color they are, regardless of what language they speak, there is a God thumbprint. In other words, God put his mark in man. There is something there that is resilient, and something there that lasts, and something that is still formulated in man, regardless of the generations that come and go. There is a God something in man. Well, yes, there is. There has to be, because God made man that way. And so that is why Jeremiah says what he says. He says, "I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done?" Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. And then he brings the contrast. "Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times." We see those migrating flocks of fowl certain times of the year in those V formations overhead, going from one place to another place. They wear no wristwatches. They have no alarm clocks. But in unison, as one, they leave one part of the country and traverse their way to another. That's an instinct that is in that animal. The ducks and the geese have that. I was telling the elder here while we were fellowshipping the other day about being in Seattle, Washington area some years back, and I happened to be there during the time that the salmon were going back upstream. And the pastor there carried me to one of the steps that they call now. Of course, those rivers now have salmon steps, they call them, to allow the salmon to get back upstream. They go down after they're hatched, and they go out into the ocean. And there at a certain time, those salmon turn around and go back up to the very fountainhead of where they hatched from. And he carried me to that first. We stood out on the area where you could just see the surface of the water, and you see the flopping of the salmon as they drove themselves up those steps. And he said, but I want to show you something even better than that. Come with me. And we went down. There was a place we could go down behind, down below into the steps, and they had certain parts of it they made glass, so you could look out into that water, and you could actually see the salmon as they fought their way up those steps. And I stood there amazed for a long time watching those salmon fight their way up that coursing water that was coming down against them. And I watched as they, some of them succeeded quickly with much vigor and strength, and they quickly cleared the steps and made it on over to the other side, and up the river they would continue. But I watched others that had already somehow maimed in their fight, in their struggle, and probably harmed by different things. And you see many of them with tears in their flesh and eyes missing off some of the sides of their head. But I never saw one give up. They just kept pushing and kept fighting and kept struggling up those steps because of one thing, an instinct. An instinct that says, go, and they obey it. God put that there for the preservation of that species. He put that in them, and they obey it. When I was a young boy coming up, we lived in a very rural part of the country, way out in the sticks, as people called it then, in part of East Texas. And where that I grew up, we had horses, and there were no houses behind us for several miles. We were, like I said, it was country, and the only thing behind us was acres and acres and acres of thick woods, and then finally a river that was back there. But as a boy, I have had this problem all my life, I have a terrible sense of direction. And I would ride that horse down into the thickets of those woods and making my way here and there. And soon I would find myself completely lost, not knowing which way is the house, which way is the river, and which way is left and which way is right, hardly. But I learned one thing to do, and that was just loose the reins and give the horse his head. And he'd pick his way out of the what I thought was a lost place to find his way back to the common trail that led to the house every time. Instinct. That is in an animal. God put that there. He put it there for the preservation. Homing pigeons. On and on you could go with these things. But God put in man an instinct also. Say what you might, but there is something in the soul of man that is a God-shaped vacuum, so to speak. In other words, there's something that only God can fill, that only God can pacify, that only God can bring satisfaction too. It's in every man, regardless of who they are, regardless of what kind of learning of or no learning that they might have, regardless of how much money they have in the bank or if they are absolutely in poverty. There is something in every individual of all races of men that is a God-given, so to speak, instinct that is in there. Regardless of what they worship or what they don't worship, regardless of how they live, there is still something there that identifies and tries to make its way to the front of their life and says, there is a God. Yes, there does. But you know what? While animals, that's the contrast here. They just, wow, like that. They obey it. Those ducks and geese in the north, in the Canadian part of the world, Well, at a certain time of the year, there's not one that gets up with a megaphone and said, okay, boys, it's time. I looked at the calendar. Let's go. No, in every one of them, the same instinct sets off the movement to come together. Suddenly, while that they have been satisfied to float upon the waters of that Canadian river and that place that they're at and eat the bugs and the insects that are around, something now turns their mind and their direction as they suddenly, with a almost unison flapping of wings, they lift themselves up in one humongous flock and go into the air and form a V formation, and off they go. They do that because of that instinct that is in them. And Jeremiah saying, this is something that really just frustrates me, how it is that the stork knoweth her appointed time. She knows it and she obeys it. But man, that somehow, which is of close kinship to God, does not obey that instinct that is in him. Let me tell you that there is a vast and powerful misdirection of the enemy that goes on in the lives of men. If it wasn't for the enemy's misdirection, then there'd be a whole lot more people making themselves to the house of God. But you know what? When it's something on the inside seems lacking, what is the very essence of why somebody's going to shoot themselves up with drugs? It makes no sense whatsoever. Except for one thing, it's a misdirection of the enemy. Because you see, there's something there that wants pacification, that wants fulfillment, that wants meaning, that wants real essence. And the enemy says, what does drugs and alcohol do? It somehow wants to transport you out of the reality that you're in into something else. And that's the real thing behind it all, is the transposing that get me out of this life that I'm in. Get me out of this living that is mine, that seems to be, whatever is going on in their lives. And it doesn't have to just be the poor. It doesn't just have to be those that have little learning, but some in the higher learning processes of this world are some of the biggest drug cultures going. You know why? Because education's not going to fill it for you. Amen. You try to fill it with everything. There's people that maybe not get in drugs and maybe not get in alcohol. But you know what? They get into the push of life. It's just one more dollar, one more dollar, one more dollar. Thinking that another dollar is going to be the pacification of everything they need. At the end of it all, they find out it's vanity, like the writer said. It's vanity and full of vexation. Because until that it is filled with the only thing that can fill it, and that is God Almighty in His Spirit, there will never be any pacification, nor rest, nor peace in there. That's because that instinct says there's something there that needs and wants to find God. I remember, I wasn't raised in church, but I remember in the years when I was in the military, it was just God that in the midst of all that, with all the drinking and things that you get into when you're in the military and all those things that went on, it was just God. I don't know why. Just one day in the PX, I walked by and in the book section was a Bible. I just didn't have no place for that before, but something drew me to that, and I bought a Bible for the first time in my life and carried it back to the barracks. I didn't let everybody else even see I had it, because I was, they'd really give you a bad time about being holier than thou and all that kind of stuff. Believe me, I was a long way from being holier than thou. I know what it is to sleep in your own drunken vomit. I know what it is to be just out of it because you're just liquored up. I know all that. But something down here. Something down here was saying, you know, when I lay there at night sometimes looking out of the barracks window, and something on me would say, surely there's something more than this. You know what that was? That was not because I just got smart. It's because something down in here started talking to me. It's because something in here started with that magnetic draw that only God can do. No man can come to God except the Spirit draw him. Amen. And I'm telling you that he can find you in the most egregious places of life, the most terrible conditions of life. Amen. When the devil has ravaged you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, there's something God that somehow says, I can give you something that really will change your life. And even though at that time I couldn't have quoted Acts 2:38, didn't even know it was in the Bible, I started reading from page 1 and read all the way through the Bible, and then I started over again. Amen. But it was several years later after I got out of the military, amen, that I went into a little one God Jesus name apostolic church and heard the gospel preached for the first time in my life. And something on the inside was saying, this is it, this is it, this is it. Amen. And I made my way to an altar, and that vacuum that had been there all that time that was so hungry, that was somehow wanting something real. Amen. God filled it to overflowing when he filled me with the Spirit. When that I was baptized in Jesus' name and repented of my sin. Amen. There came that flooding power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, that's been nearly 50 years ago, but I'm still glad. So glad that he found me. Amen. That somehow he didn't just let me go, but that instinct said, come unto me and I will give you rest. That's why I'm telling you here today. You're not here by accident. God knows what's going on in your spirit and in your heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. You ever been at a loss? I was. Ever been at a loss just trying to figure out why you feel like you feel? Why can't I get any satisfaction? You get your hands on this and you get your hands on that, but nothing satisfies. Because it's not the answer. Because there's not that one God-shaped vacuum can only be satisfied in God. It's the only thing that can ever do it. As I evangelized through the years, it's one thing you learn when you evangelize. You learn a couple of things in every city that you go to, if possible. And that would be where Walmart's at. And the other one, since I had kids, small kids, would be where the zoo is at. Because both of those, you know, you need both of them. You got to have Walmart. I sometimes think that if I miss the day, they're going to call the house and ask me if I'm sick. But the other was to be able to go to the zoo, because a lot of those didn't cost much and you spend a good time a day. Fascinating thing is to me was the lion cages and those big beast cages. There could be a lion that has been in that cage from a cub his whole life. And I'd stand there and watch him as he'd walk from one side of the cage to the other side of the cage and turn his head, and there's something about their eyes. After a while, you notice they're not really looking at you. There's something in that big cat that even though he's been in captivity all of his life, says somewhere there's freedom. Somewhere there's an antelope. Somewhere there is game. He's never known that. But something on the inside, because of the animal that he is an instinct to do that. And you watch him as he walks that cage and turns his head to and fro, looking out the bars. That's the way it is of people that God is touching in their life. Remember that old song we used to sing? I searched for him, but I knew not what I searched for. I longed for him, but I knew not what I longed for. Praise the Lord. That's why when God finally starts opening the door and saying, this is what you need. This is what is really the essence of your life. Let me tell you, what is life without God? It's nothing. It's being caged in a cage. You're all the time on the inside saying, I'm not real. This is not what life is really all about. If you think it's just having a little bit of fun. You know, fun is the thing of the day. I hear people just saying all the time, I just want to have fun. Fun is not where it's at. Amen. Let me tell you, there's no joy. Amen. Like joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That gives you something real. That gives you something satisfying. It's peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. When God fills your soul, amen, you can go through situations and still have peace. And still have peace. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, we were, brother, dealing with Proverbs today. I also... In especially the early years of my living for God, Proverbs was something I went through very often. Because it's not story form stuff, it's just little concise pieces of very pertinent information that says little to mean a whole lot. Sometimes I just read one. But in Proverbs, the writer talks about, he says, about the sluggard. Somebody that's not performing where they need to be performing. He said, go the ants. Go the ants. You know what they do? They gather their meat in the summer. As a boy, I remember laying down on the ground and trying to obstruct those little ant trails. You put twigs and limbs and whatever else, it don't deter them. If they can't get over it, they'll go around it. They're carrying sizes of the things that are 4 and 5 times the size of their own body. And they don't stop. They're not chit-chatting. You don't find a little group over there pulled up under a little weed with their legs crossed saying, we're just having a little coffee break. I mean, they stay with it. They gather their meat in the summer. Why? Because God put that instinct, because the winter's coming, when the snows fall, when the ground gets done, and there's not going to be anything to be had outside of that anthill. It's got to be down in it for preservation. So in the summer, brother, they just do it because of an instinct. In that little tiny, tiny thing, there's an instinct of God that says, get while the getting's good. I'm telling you, if people could understand that what is going, this world is coming to a swift conclusion. Amen. God is coming back for His church. Amen. You don't want to be here after God takes His church out of this world. I'm telling you, all the issues and all the forces of hell are going to come out like a bubbling river and deludes this land like you've never seen. You think you've seen it bad here too far. You haven't seen anything until God loses His judgment against this world. I'm telling you, but now's the time to get while the getting's good. When God's talking to your heart, while God's dealing with you, while God's leading you to church, find your place at an apostolic altar. Amen. Come repenting of your sin and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. which is always evidenced by you speaking a language you didn't learn. He said the conies, they're just a feeble little folk. And the conies is a type of rabbit. He said, but you know what they do? They find a place in the rocks to have their houses. They're feeble. They don't have much. You know, in the animal world, some animals are armored against those that would make them prey. That's why the armadillo is named like it is, the armadillo. He's got armor to help resist the bite and the pawing of a predator. Also to be able to pull his head and tail in and compose himself in that armored shell. Same thing with a turtle. But there's other animals that have absolutely hardly any resistance to predators as far as any formidable combat to them. And the rabbit's one of them. Outside of his speed and his leap, he has little other recourse at a predator. And he says, those little conies, when they go, they find themselves a crevice in the rock. They make their houses in the rocks. The rock becomes their protection. They know where to live for protection. Vulnerable you are to the wiles of the devil. You may think that you can do it by yourself, but you can't. I've heard people talk about they can go bear hunting with a switch. Yeah, just be sure and inform the bear that that's what you're doing. Because I'm telling you right now, you're no match for the devil. But thank God there's a hiding place. Thank God there's a safety place. And it's only in God. Aren't you? I like that scripture so much. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. And the righteous, they don't walk just toward it, but it says they runneth into it. And are safe. I'm telling you, I'm glad there's a hiding place. I'm glad there's security. Amen. When the life just somehow falls in on me, when it begins to attack me from every quarter, I'm glad there's a name that's a strong tower. And that name is Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. And then he goes on to talk about the spider. He said, the spider, it taketh hold in king's palaces. It takes his little web spinning ability. He don't have to live in just ramshackle little shacks. But in the midst of a king's palace can be a spider web. Where a spider makes his home. Let me tell you, if you're gonna expend the time to make a life, why build it in something that can fall down tomorrow? Why build it in a hazardous place? Why not build it in the king's palace? Why not build your life in the place where that there is royalty, where there is all good favor, where there is the golden and beautiful things of life. Why build a life in such a sad place? Amen. I read many years ago about the great, few, some of you may recall, was at one time a very enormous earthquake in Alaska. And I was reading about people talking about their adventures during that time and things that happened to them. But I was especially struck by this individual. It lived way out in the wilds there, and there was just a kind of one road up that came up down that wilderness toward his house, and he could sit on his front porch and look down that road. And he said 3 days before the earthquake ever was initiated, 3 days, he began to know something was happening. Something was different. Because as he looked down that road, there was masses of migrating animals moving into different areas. That was uncommon. Something was directing them into a different position, different area. Something was up with them. He didn't understand it at the time until when the earthquake hit. And then he understood. Those animals had something that moved them that said danger's at hand. Move from where you are to someplace else. God did that. God did that. That's why he tells us that as far as the world is concerned, that the coming of the Lord will take them as a thief in the night. That means they're not going to be expecting it. They're not going to even have the first inkling for those that do not know God. But he says, but unto you, that it should not overtake you as a thief in the night. God wants you to be able to not just survive life, but to have everlasting life. He wants you to somehow have a God-given direction that again comes from the preaching of the Word of God in your heart and in your life. Would you stand with us, please, here today? Like I said, I don't believe you're here by accident, no more than I am. I'm here, I know, by invitation of the elder. I know the elder's here because he's the pastor, and I know that some of you saints are faithful to be in the house of God. But again, none of you are here by accident. Some of you that are visiting, you're not here by accident. We're so glad you're here. Man, I wish we could really emphasize to you how glad you're here. Why? Not so much maybe for what you can do for us, but what the Holy Ghost can do for you. Because he's done so much for me, I'd just like to tell the whole world, can't nobody do you like the Lord. He reached a whole lot further down than I could reach up. That woman that went to that well that day, little did she know that when this Nazarene walked up to her in this Samaritan land, that he would say, would you give me a drink? And she says, how is it that you being a Jew would ask of me a Samaritan to give you water? You think there's race problems in this world? I'm telling you, the Jew would go around Samaria. But Jesus said, I have need to go through Samaria. Let me tell you, regardless of what anybody thinks, this Holy Ghost will equalize humanity. Regardless of your race, regardless of your learning, regardless of whatever about you, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And on that day, when he said, would you give me a drink? And then she asked that question. He doesn't even spend time talking about that deal. He says, but if you knew who it was that asked you a drink, you would rather ask of him to quench your thirst. And he would give you water, living water, by which you would never have to find yourself coming to this same well for a natural drink you come. But I can give you a satisfying drink in your soul because I know that's what you need. Amen. Let me tell you, he can satisfy your longing heart today. He can make it all right in His time. There's nothing like our good God and His grace. While they play right now and sing, as you pray, I wonder if there's anybody that would see, I feel that may not be able to explain it all, but I know there's something missing in my life. I know that I'm that there's something not satisfied in me. And the Spirit of God saying, come, let me give you water that you've never drank before, that will quench your thirst, that will give you satisfaction, and also will give you life everlasting. He came to give you life, and life more abundantly. Praise the Lord as they pray right now, and as the pastor comes. How about it here today? A few short steps can make such a difference in your whole life. If you just show God, I want something that I don't have. I don't have all the answers. I don't know, understand all that's going on. But I do know there's something tapping on the inside of my soul. Come on to God and let God touch your heart today.
Come and pray. Let's come and pray. Let's come and pray. Everybody needs to come. Hallelujah.